You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
What a good message. Some of us, we mature now. But boy, back when we was immature, woo-wee. We tell folk now who's stressing out over temporary things, just calm down. Just chill out. Hey, God got you. See, that's you now. But back in the day, woo, temporary stuff, tearing your mind up. This is how some people go back to things. This is how some folk go back to drinking. This is how some people go back to inappropriate relationships. They don't know how to handle the temporal. And if you don't, man, you'll be where you shouldn't be. You'll do what you shouldn't have did. Don't know how to handle the temporal. And see, it's bad to get right there at that finish line. Well, God said, I'm about to cause what was just temporary. I'm about to move him out of there into this place I got. And then right before he gets ready to give you that breakthrough, you panic thinking the temporal was going to be permanent and do what you shouldn't do. Romans 1. I beseech somebody not to make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. You know that was a on-time word for somebody who been stressing over the temporal. You've been stressing over the temporal. But don't do it. For the things that are seen are temporal. But the things that are not seen, they are eternal. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. Okay, let's notice Romans 1. Thank y'all for being patient with the first message. Romans 1. Yeah, I'm seeing Men Smith. That's a good word because we done lived there. I know I have. I've lived there. Temporary stuff tearing my mind pieces. Whew. Then you go out and do things you didn't have no business doing. I mean, we used to get loans. Man, running a credit card, working overtime, and you're tired and body is wore down, and you thinking that's going to deliver you. Some of you got 2-3 jobs. You still just... Something God has ordained, but it's seasonal. It's seasonal. It's seasonal. Amen. Romans 1, and let's notice verse 15. Let's notice Romans 1 and 15. And I'm going to tie this into even what I'm talking about, even though, you know. Romans 1, 15. Notice what Paul writes to the church at Rome. He said, so as much as is in me, I'm reading out the New King James Version, so as much as is in me, here is Paul. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So as much as is in me, look at the Apostle Paul. I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And of course we know God delivered his message, his power to save was first seen in the Jews or in his chosen people. For in it or in the gospel, for in the righteousness of God is revealed. For in it, or in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from message to message. Because Paul said in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. For in it, or in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Revelation comes from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Notice the whole time Paul is really using faith and the gospel as being synonymous. We know the word belief, or to believe, is also synonymous with faith. And so notice that Paul says in the latter clause that the just shall live by faith or by the gospel. Because remember, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the gospel. Because that's what he, again, in verse 15, is ready to preach. He's ready to preach the gospel. We could also say he's ready to preach faith, so folk can believe God the way they need to believe him. But notice that the just shall live by faith or by the gospel. One thing the gospel represents is not just a good message, but I want us to receive that the gospel represents good news. If you know what the gospel is, then you know that the gospel is a good news. And so based upon all that I've said, my subject this morning, he said, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by the gospel. What is the gospel? Good news. So my subject this morning is living by good news. Living by good news. I want to challenge what you're living by. Because as a child of God, the just, meaning the righteous, we should be living and striving to live by the gospel or the good news every day. Every day. Look at your neighbor and just tell him or her the subject this morning. Living by good news. And if you're living by good news, give the Lord a big hand of praise if that's what you are living by. If you say, Pastor, I'm living by good news. Come on, we can give him a bigger hand of praise. What a word. Living by good news. Again, it's important to understand, don't miss it, that the gospel is, again, a good message. It is a good message. It is what I am deeming good news. And the word of God, if one is a hearer and a doer of it, it will change your life for the better. There is no other reason that many of us can offer to people for why our lives are so drastically better at this point than how it used to be. Come on, I'm just looking for some witnesses. That's all I'm doing when I pause, just looking for some witnesses. What other explanation can we give for how our lives have just been completely turned around? You better hear me, for the better. What is your reason for why you used to be a drunk, but now you are sober-minded? What is your reason? How did you go from one state, which was a bad state, to a good state? Most of us have got to be honest and give all the glory. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching to you. Give all the credit to where it belongs. If it had not been for the Lord, come on, we would still be. You cannot say, if you know God, that medicine healed you. Because no medicine has ever been created to heal. Medicine, come on. I'm not talking about what the Bible deemed medicine. I'm talking about medicine in our day and time. It's not given to cure anything. That's when they want you on it till the day you die. And they want you taking it multiple times a day. There is but one healer.
Come on, am I preaching against medicine? You know I'm not, but there's only one healer. Am I right? So when people look at us, we have to let them know who changed our lives for the better. You have to let them know why you're doing as good as you're doing. And you dare not say that it is Yamaha. You dare not say that it's Bonneau. You will not say that Cargill did it. Come on, somebody. You got to be honest. This is not a work of Southwide. This is not my government. You better give the glory to whom the glory is due. Some of you ought to be clapping right now, because God has truly did in your life what the Bible said. He has made you the head and not the tail. He's causing you to live above only and not beneath. You keep sitting there. You keep sitting there not being willing to praise Him. But there are times that preachers talk about certain things that we got to get up. We can be tired, but I gotta stand up. I gotta give Him the praise. I cannot be seated. I cannot remain quiet. I can't be dignified. He talking about Jesus. He preaching about the one. Come on. Imagine being blind, literally, and Jesus give you your sight. You ain't ever too tired to praise. Come on, you ain't ever too tired to testify. Be seated. We got to make it our business to let folk know. Am I right? Notice Mark 1. Notice Mark 1. We got to make it our business to let people know. When somebody ain't seen you in years, I'm talking years. I'm talking years. And they, man, I ain't seen you at the club. Brother, you ain't gonna see me. I don't go there no more. What? No, man, it's been a wonderful change that has taken place in my life. Can I tell you about it? Can I tell you what the Lord has done for me? Amen. Notice Mark 1. Yes, sir. Changed our lives for the better. Ooh, brought us out of things that people said we were never coming out of. Y'all know how some folks used to look at some of us and just shake their head in disgust with some of us. That boy just can't do right. Like, all of us at one point, our name could have been Can't Do Right. Come on, that's how much wrong that you sit there and act like you came in this world saved. Most of us, our name could have been Can't Get Right or Won't Get Right. Look who coming. It won't get right coming. Because we wouldn't get right. Amen. I'm not ashamed of where I come from because, man, it let me know. Ain't nobody got no business even talking to me about there is no God. Woo, you done ran up on the wrong one. Do what? Well, how do we really know that God exists? Ha, see me? Every knee do what He do for us. See her? Look at Him. We eventually, when we get our act together, we are the proof that He lives. We are the proof that He saves. We are the proof He delivers. We are the proof He prospers. We are the proof He protects. Why haven't some of us gone back? And there were many people who said about us, when we first got saved, it won't last. He just tripping again. He on another trip. Because some of us used to be that way. We get excited about something. I don't eat no meat no more. What's this new thing? Yeah, I'm vegan. Oh, what does that mean? Can you break that down? Yeah, I don't eat anything that have parents. If something had parents, I won't eat it. Y'all will catch that later. Oh. They can tell, you see them 3 months later. Killing a Big Mac. They destroying a Big Mac. And some folks get mad when you tell, I thought you was a. That killing me. Come on. And so when we got saved, to a lot of people, it was like, okay, here they go again. Oh, he going to be faithful to one woman? Yeah, I want to see this. See this. Come on. Don't y'all get scared when I go down that road. And some folk tried us. There were women, and I ain't going into detail, that tried me. She already know it. Y'all ain't got to look at her. She know. And there are probably some men that tried her. I don't need to know it. I don't need to know it. There were women out of my past who tried me. Let's see how saved he really is. And the offer was there. It was put on the table. And what I used to couldn't walk away from, found myself saying, hey, I don't play that. And then they're looking like, this boy must really be, he really got the Holy Ghost. Things going to try you. Things going to try you. When God deliver you off weed, you pray all you want to, everybody going to stop smoking it. And you going to know that smell. Some of my former folk that smoked all the time, you going to know that smell. Like I know a good steak, when it's on the grill, some of us, that's weed. You can smell it in the air. Some of you even know the flavors. Things will try you. We need to know that. Notice Mark 1 and 14. You need to know that. Things will try you. People will try you. Mark 1:14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying and teaching and preaching the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. This is Jesus. This is Yeshua. He said, repent. And believe in the gospel. The gospel doesn't work unless we believe. Oh, I need to say it again. It doesn't work. It doesn't produce until we believe. Coming to church is not enough if you don't believe what's being preached. Come on, glad you come, glad we gather together. But if you're not leaving here, living what is being preached, Notice that Jesus said, believe the gospel. Good news is coming. Believe it. Believe it. Don't doubt it. Believe it. It doesn't change your life until you believe it. Until you walk according to it. Until you live according to it. Until, break it down, Pastor, you are thinking the word. Until you are talking the word and you are doing the word. How are you not powerful and you thinking the word? You talking the word and you doing the word. Oh, he think he deep. Why am I deep? Because I think the word, because I talk the word, and because I do the word. That ain't deep. That's believing the gospel. When I get bad news, I don't talk bad news. I talk the gospel. I knew he had to quote a scripture. What did you expect? I believe the gospel. No man gonna sit up and tell me what I can't afford, and I nod my head. Why? I believe the gospel. You don't know that much about me. What folks said I couldn't have years ago. Get mad all you want. I got it. I got it. I said I got it. I live in it. I live in it. More room. We went from being in a 1,500 square foot house. Three kids all on top of each other. Needing more space. See, I told you about that temple. I preached to you earlier about that temple. Knowing this is not going to last. Believe me, because I have bigger for you. Trust me to bring you into it. Now we live, just me and Donna, in 5,000 square feet. He did it. He did it. Believing his word. Believing the good news. He is not a respected person. He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing. You will not have room enough to receive. You got to be to the point where you don't despise the day of small beginnings. See, a lot of times God will bring us to that place and we can't even see it. Some of you, when you open up your closet, you don't have room to put in the new without first blessing or getting rid of some of the old. He calls his word to come to pass in your life. And if he did it in reference to your closet, why can't he do it in every single aspect? I went from not having suits. Y'all didn't hear me, to not having suits. Got rebuked when I first got saved by an old mother for not having a coat on. She said, son, where's your jacket? I said, I got to get it, mother. Go get it. I said, mother, I said, she said, son, go get your jacket. Put your jacket on. Men need to wear jackets in the house of the Lord. I said, mother, I got to get it. She said, go get it. I had to break it down. I said, mom, mother, I don't own a jacket. I said, I just got saved. She said, oh, Lord. She said, God will make a way. Y'all know how we do it. Back then, my first suit was a black suit. My second suit was a brown suit. Back in holiness, men didn't dare to go beyond black, blue, and brown. You really getting out there. Now, we all colorful now, but back then, all this loud purple, they'll put you on the altar. I just want to testify. Believe in the gospel. I then start moving into ministry. I start moving into serving. Needing things. He said, I'll supply all of your need according to my riches in glory. Don't you know God know what you need? Don't you know God know when you need it? God ain't going to allow you to serve him on a certain level and you don't have what you need. He told you, don't you worry about what you going to eat. Don't you worry about what you going to wear. Don't you worry about. He said, I'll add all those things to you. Why is it not being added to saints the way he want to add it? We don't believe. Come on. Be seated. Now I can wear a different suit every Sunday of the year without repeating. Believing that I would have what he said I could have. So you got to believe the gospel. Believe the good news. Believe the good message in reference to your life. What happens when a person believes the gospel? Let me name a few things that happen when a person believes the gospel. Number one, they have eternal life. When you believe the gospel, you have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start here on earth. I mean in heaven. Excuse me. Eternal life starts the moment you believe the gospel. That's what happens when we die. You inherit eternal glory. Because see, what he did in us believing the gospel, you better get happy, is that he took the sting out of death. So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Come on, church. That's why we don't fear dying. We don't want to die before our time. There's appointed unto man. Who has the appointment book? God. A doctor don't have the appointment book. God has the appointment book. But if I'm to go by his appointment, I need to believe the gospel. You have eternal life. Eternal life, listen, leads to us being able to enjoy life. I talked about it last week. Being saved is not a boring life. When you believe the gospel, you finna really live. You finna live as God has ordained for you to live. Am I right about it? You stop all the worrying when you believe the gospel. Come on. Needs being met. When you start believing the gospel, light starts drying up in your life. Not to say you won't go through things, but they're God ordained things that you go through. I'm going to talk about that later, because we're not exempt from trials and trouble. But believing the gospel positions me to live a life, I want you to really hear this, where I am no longer hurting myself. The main problem with most people is not another person, but themselves. When I started believing the gospel, it showed me who I needed to be. You know what sin does? You know what practicing sin does? It destroys a person. Think about that. All the sin that we love before God, when you really look at it, it was destroying us. Come on. It was killing us. Listen, and nobody, I don't care how much you try to tell it to folk, you a liar, nobody was making you do it. Nobody was forcing us to do it. I think about some of the stupid stuff I done. I was killing myself. I was messing myself up. Then I started believing the gospel. Number four, you start receiving heart desires. See, because we have to get our heart right. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, the heart is desperately wicked. We have to allow God to cleanse or clean our heart. So then the right things are in us to desire. Right? And then this final one is that then we become rich. Proverbs 10 and 22. See, the blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he has no sorrow with it. Now see, there are folk on location, and there are people who are watching. They say, well, Pastor, I agree with the other folk, but I can't agree with that rich stuff. You know where you don't agree with it? You only understand rich from one definition, and that's money. Being rich is more than having a whole lot of money. What is my definition of rich? Being productive in every aspect of life. When you're productive in every aspect of life, you're rich. You're rich. The blessings of the Lord, you're going to say to God, he's a liar. You're going to say the word ain't right. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich. You just got to know how to look at things from a biblical view instead of a worldly view. Think about that. Sadly, some Christians live by bad news. I say, sadly, some people live by bad news. Showing up to church week in and week out, but living by bad news. Just like good pertains to God, bad pertains to evil. Evil being that which is contrary to the will of God. I hope y'all heard me. Some folk live by bad news. They live by news that's contrary to the will of God. Tell your neighbor, but you got to know. You have to be intelligent and know what to live by and what not to live by. That's an intelligent person. Somebody's throwing something at me, wanting me to receive it. If I'm an intelligent saint, I recognize, no, I got discernment. That ain't what I'm supposed to live by. That's the reason, and don't y'all get mad, that's the reason a lot of us was not fearful during COVID. We were living by the same thing we were living by before COVID showed up, that being God has the final say. And his angels are encamped around those who fear him. See, I was believing all that during COVID. I believe in that if I ran into COVID, if I touched COVID, if I drunk COVID, if I ate COVID. Because you really don't know how COVID, and still don't know, stuff mutating every week. Come on. This is good. Well, you got to be careful. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, you have to be careful. You know this COVID is real. We knew it was real. You could look at it. Again, now I'm of the opinion that they put it back in the box. But there are more things coming. Are we going to trust him? Are we going to believe him? Are we going to stand on his word? There's some good stuff right here. And some folk got exposed during COVID that they didn't believe the gospel. You had saints go to Walmart. They go to Dillard's. They go to work. They go on vacation. They don't come to church. I had a leader on vacation not coming to church and then posting. What are you living by? When you live by bad news, y'all hang in here. You're going to find yourself depressed. Not me, Pastor. Yes, you. You are what you eat. You are what you live by. Get to living by what you shouldn't be living by. You're going to find yourself depressed. Come on. You're going to find yourself having low self-worth. You're not living by what you are ordained to live by. Now, we are not to think more highly of ourselves, but we shouldn't have low self-worth. Give that mess back to the world. Well, Pastor, I have low self-worth. How, as a Christian, God is in you and you don't feel good about yourself? You living by what you shouldn't be living by. Who you listening to? You can't be listening to God because he said you were fearfully and wonderfully created. Come on. And you're gonna be up and down. When you live by bad news, you up and you down. You happy and you sad. Y'all know I'm right? You are also confused. When you are living by what God had ordained for you to live by, you're going to find your place, you're going to find yourself in a place of confusion. Not knowing where to go. Not knowing how to do. You're going to be in a state of confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. God don't want you confused. What did I say earlier? Know the seasons. He don't want us confused. Why is he giving us pastors, prophets, to feed us with knowledge and understanding, yet we'll confuse people? God so wants you to be spiritually in tune that he even wants you to know, if y'all will believe it, if you can believe it, he wants you to know who you should hang with. He wants you to know who you shouldn't hang with. Hey, I want you confused. I want you to know who you can trust. I want you to know who you can't trust. If you need to confide in somebody, if you need to talk to somebody, he don't want you doing any, many, mighty more. He said, let me lead you. Let me show you who to call. Let me show you who to get to pray for you. Oh, I'm finna drop one on y'all. You don't want everybody to come to church praying for you. I'll drop another one on you. You don't want everybody laying hands on you that you don't know where their hand been. I won't go listen to certain preachers. I won't go to certain churches because they got a habit of wanting to lay hands on people too quick. Some of you don't like that. Some of everybody's hand done been on your head. If I don't know a person like that, they probably say, just stay right there, brother. I hear you. No need to. I know how to receive and not receive. Pastor, that being mean. No. No, that ain't being mean. That's knowing what to live by. That's knowing what to live by. Come on. Finally, whoa, very good to me. Finally, when we live by bad news or news that's contrary to the will of God, you will find yourself cursed. I'm going to show it to you. You'll find yourself cursed. You will find yourself missing what God had for you. The only way to get what God has for you is to live by what he ordained for you to live by. The only way to be who God ordained for you to be is to live by what he told you to live by. You cannot be a man of God in this culture if you ain't living by what God told you to live by. That's the reason we have a lack of good men. Come on. Because men are not living by, and it takes something to be a man. Yes, it do. It takes something to be a real man. And go ahead and go to Numbers 13 while I say this. And real women love good men. Real women want a real man. I'm getting patty cakes out there. I don't know what's wrong with women ministry. I don't know if y'all ain't met in a while, but real women want real men. A real woman should be attracted to a real man. That's the reason a woman can never be a man. A man can never be a woman. That ain't taking nothing away from women. You don't have to act masculine to be used of God. You can still be used of God and be lady. But a lot of men can't stand in their rightful place because they're not living by what God ordained. And if a man starts living by what this world feeds in him, just like in the natural, many of us will not eat just anything. Come on. And some of you just proved you would eat anything from anybody at any time, anywhere. But watch this. How many, and don't lie, you're in church, don't lie, period, but especially don't lie in the sanctuary. How many you can say you're peculiar about what you eat? How many you're peculiar about what you eat? Like who fixed this? Who did this? See, folk think pastors ought to eat anything. When Donna come getting me, I'm like, who did this? I don't know. They just had on the box. This is specially for pastor. And they just left it at the door. That may be for the pastor up the road. Pastor, you ought to eat it and try God now. Even when we go places, you know, Donna, she normally fixed my food. And she already know. She already know. When she bring me my plate, she know me that well. She know what to put on there and what not to put on there. She know what he going to eat. You ought to get him some of this. She's like, he's not going to eat that. He won't even like the way that look. Listen, I'm saying something. This is my problem with Christians. How can we be like that about natural food, but we eat anybody's spiritual food? We listen to any preacher. We digest whatever. Look what happens in Numbers 13. Boy, I got to speed up. Numbers 13. I think it was that first message. Numbers 13. You have that first message. Numbers 13. Somebody really need to live by that. Now listen. Look at Numbers 13 and verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." This is when they spied out the promised land. Caleb said, "Let us go now. Let us go up at once and take possession." He ready to get it. Oh, come on, somebody. You got folk that ready to get it. God said we need to go over here. Let's get it. So you got folk like that in the church. God said we should own it. Let's go get it. Let's go take possession. But then you got the other folk. Now he gave them good news. Let's go get it. Let's go take possession of it. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of bad news. Once God says you can do a thing, be careful to whoever says to you, you can't do it. That person has just showed you who they working for. They just showed you who they talking for. You talking on behalf of the devil himself. Some folk don't mean no harm, but some folks are demonic. And let me tell you something. Everybody that smiles in your face, including your family, does not want you to have what God wants you to have. That's your family. When good things happen for you, you better watch. You better mark kinfolk. That's not happy. That's when God blesses you sometime, you need to take a moment and just look around the room. See, can I be honest? Like, I'm going to look, if he let me see this week, I'm going to look to see who here Friday. I'm going to look to see who really appreciate what I do week in and week out. Want to see who going to make an excuse. Want to see who can't be there. Want to see who planning to be out of town on the very day that they going to appreciate your pastor. See who volunteers to work. Look verse 32. They gave the children of Israel a bad report, a bad news of the land which they spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone espies of the land that devours the inhabitants. All the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Notice what living by bad news does. Causes you to see yourself in a way that God hadn't seen you. He see you as mighty. Why do you see yourself as weak? He see you as strong. Why do you see yourself as cowardly? See, when they started living, listen to me. When they started living by bad news, it changed not only how they saw themselves, you better look at the text. It changed how they saw God. Because even though these folks are giants, God has dealt with many giants. What does that have to do with anything? But when you live by bad news, you start considering things that you shouldn't consider. I only make such and such an hour. Who told you to consider that? Come on. Look at number 14 and 1. So all the children of Israel lifted up their voices and cried. Do you see the emotions changing? They were excited when the spies got back. Now they're crying. Tell your neighbor, sometimes you got to get in the mirror and ask yourself, when you are, why am I crying? Why am I crying about this? Another job that I don't get. Why are you crying about that? Why are you crying about that? Did he not sustain you? Is he not taking care of you? I don't care if the next seven folk deny you the job. Look at how he's taking care of you. And then ask yourself, why am I crying? When folk walk out on you and you start crying, ask yourself, why am I crying? They didn't want to be with me no more. They didn't want to support me no more. Why am I crying? Because they left. Now, we really need to cry if God walk off. But he said he'd never do it. Why would we cry when people walk off? God had to teach me that. They did not leave. I know they're telling everybody they left the church. And God whispered at me one time. He said, I made them leave. They were disrupting things. I ain't going back over there to the little church no more. You know what God told me? I won't allow them to come back. See, you, brother, why are you crying over a woman that don't want you? There are has a woman that would appreciate you. That is, and that ain't a cause for divorce. That ain't confirmation. You ain't got to smile. I feel like leaving. You're at a good church. You taught not to live by your feelings. Get your feelings in order. Get your feelings straight. Get in there and pray until you feel like staying. Get in there and pray until you feel like cooking. Because sometimes what you feel like doing, God wants you to do the opposite. God don't want you to leave him. He wants you to get in there and put on some sexy, some. He wants you to get the house stirred up. He wants you to make that man sweat again. See, y'all woke up then, didn't you? Sometimes what we want to do, God wants us to do the exact opposite. But see, when they start living by bad news, now they crying. Look how bad, and the people wept that night. These folk cried all night. Then all the children of Israel complained. Then they started complaining. You wonder why some folk complain so much. It's what they living by. Some folk, all you going to hear, I ain't got, I can't. I can't, I ain't got, I can't, I ain't got. You don't know who I am. I can't, I ain't got. Okay, I know what you living by. Come on, I know what you living by. People lift up their voice, start complaining. Again, Moses and Aaron. See, that's how God people is. I'm finna move on. I'm finna have to close it. Ah, God, people here. When they get mad at God, oh, they finna let the pastor have it. Y'all ain't gonna do it in here. I know pastor talking about me. Came right over there on my side. He was looking at me. I know everybody saw him looking at me. Oh, he said that because I just did this. Oh, so you so big and so great. I got to take a whole hour to preach about you. Ain't none of the rest of us going through nothing. This ain't all about you. We all need to be in a church where the word checks us. It checks you no matter who you are. You can be the biggest giver in this church. Sooner or later, the word that I preach gonna check you. Come on. I had a whole group of folk 1 year. They tell me they planned a meeting to all leave the church at the same time so that it'll have a greater impact on the congregation. And these folk carried through on their plan. They was meeting about all leaving at the same time to shake the church, to hopefully destroy the church. And they did it. All of them left. But their offering increased. Because I kept living by what I was supposed to live by. Look at verse 10. I got to show you something. I'm closed. All the congregation. Now then Joshua and them tried to talk to him again and tell him, look, y'all, we don't need to be thinking like this. We don't need, y'all don't need to live according to that bad report. We need to go on up and get this land. When they spoke that to him, notice verse 10. Because here's something you need to know if you live by good news and you try to get other folk to live by it. It's something you need to really understand. Number 14 and 10. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. See, sometimes you can give folk what they need to live by. And instead of them appreciating you, they'll be ready to kill you. Folk will pray about what they need to do in reference to problems and situations, and then God will give you their answer. And you tell them what thus saith the Lord, and they ready to stone you. They ready to kill you, and you gave them what they were supposed to live by. Notice that Paul said in Romans 1 and 16 that I am not ashamed of the gospel or the good news. See, Paul had got to a point to where he was not ashamed. He was not embarrassed to preach it, to testify of it. He was not reluctant to share it. See, once you live by good news, you spend the rest of your life preaching it, sharing it, testifying to it. Come on, somebody. That's real. Look at Psalm 96. I'm coming in. Psalm 96. See, we're living by good news. We're living by good news. Psalm 96. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, it is the power of God to salvation. One biblical meaning of gospel is the power of God to save. What is the gospel? According to Paul, it's the power of God to save. Salvation is threefold: deliverance, protection, and prosperity. God's ability to save, to deliver, protect, and cause his people to prosper. That's what we are to live by. That's what we are to live by. And when you're not ashamed of it, like Paul, you preach it. You preach it. Tell your neighbor, you don't need a license to preach the gospel. Woo! You don't need minister in front of your name. You don't need apostle in front of your name. You don't need to be called a bishop, a missionary, a evangelist to preach the gospel. You need one requirement: you believe the gospel. Tell your neighbor, preach what you believe. Wow! Look at somebody and tell them, preach what you believe. At your house, at the church, outside the church. Tell somebody, preach what you believe. On your job. Psalm 96 2. That don't mean you disrupt the whole job. Don't you take no pulpit down there to your job. You start running no revival on them folk. And first thing they gonna ask you, where you go to church? I'm a member of Place of Refuge Noon. My pastor, Pastor Leonard D. Cocker. Don't tell them that. Listen, this is good because people need to know it. A lot of the preaching we do and what messes up folk, when they see themselves preaching, they see themselves before thousands, hundreds of people. You can preach to one person. You can proclaim the good news to one person. Listen, who needs to hear your story. Let me prove it to you. Psalm 96, I'm coming in. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. You better look what the Bible told her. Proclaim the good news of his what? Salvation. From day to what? Day. From day to what? Day. Did he say proclaim it? Show forth it? Preach it? Share it? Tell you now, we got a responsibility. That if we believe the gospel, we ought to preach the gospel. My last scripture, Psalm 34. If we believe the gospel, we ought to preach the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation. Whoa, Garrett, you look so good. What in the world are you doing? Lord have mercy, you look good. Well, you know, I'm on this new Tika diet. I ain't heard of the Tika diet. It's really doing something for you. The nerve of you. You should have told that person, the Lord. The Lord. The Lord's been helping me. Now listen, because I don't want y'all leaving here thinking when you live by good news that you never have to deal with bad news, that you never go through anything. That's part of the problem in the church. People want to live by the gospel. When you live by the gospel, you will suffer according to the gospel. We're going to go through things. And tell your neighbor, it's when you're going through your trials, your tribulations, and such, that you really need to be careful that you live by good news. Going through trouble is not a reason for you to forsake living by good news. Look at Psalm 34, and we're done. Look at Psalm 34. A much needed word, both messages. Psalm 34, both messages were needed and good. Psalm 34 and 19. See, this is what we got to know in order to live by good news. Some of you are right here now thinking crazy, living by what you shouldn't live by, listening to who you shouldn't listen to, taking advice from people that don't know what they're talking about. Can't do that. Notice Psalm 34, 19 calls it, preacher. Many are the afflictions of who? The just of the righteous live by faith or good news, right? It's only the righteous who live by good news, right? Notice what the psalmist revealed. Many are who? The afflictions of who? Of who? Tell you, folk who live by the gospel. Or people who live by good news. Will go through. Woo! A whole lot of stuff. Now, hold on. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to close with that. This is the sad thing in the church. When people who live by good news start going through stuff in the church, sometimes church people start looking at them like they done did something wrong. Just because she's suffering don't mean she done nothing wrong. Many are the affliction of the right. Well, she must be done did something. Look at what all she going through. Yeah, she saved. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. What are we to live by then? But the Lord. Give us what to live by, Lord. But the Lord delivers him. Delivers her. Out of them what? See, when you being afflicted, going through something painful, you don't stop living by good news. You don't stop living by good news. You look for God to deliver. You look for God to make a way. And I'm done. Let's give him a praise. I'm done. Living by good news.
Pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.